Let's be encouraged by the Word of God, shall we? And so you have your Bibles. And before we turn there, let me just back up with a background story here. But the title of this afternoon's message, Can I Have Some Eggs, Dad? And so, a little tongue-in-cheek, but it's a little down-to-earth as well. Can I Have Some Eggs, Dad? Which is not just the title of the message. Gina might recognize it as what my son Oliver did say to me. Was it earlier this week? I forget when it was, maybe Friday, maybe was it yesterday, I don't know. But what he had, so Oliver, my youngest boy, you know, he wanted some eggs, he loves eggs, I love eggs. You know, he was so hopeful, he was so eager, he had taken the initiative, gone to the fridge. Thankfully, he didn't crack anything, you know, he got the carton out of the bottom tray, and the fridge was closed, and he was standing by the stove, and says, can I have some eggs, Dad? You know, he was just, couldn't wait to dig in, you know, he was like, you know, drooling, and so he was really looking forward to that. And then I was so tired. I was so preoccupied. I didn't really care to make it for him, okay? And so I said, no, son, not now. And immediately his countenance fell. He was so hopeful, and right away he went, you know, like a kid with the ice cream, you know, kind of fell on the floor kind of thing. And so he got the life, you know, I could see it just drain from his face. And he turned around, he walked back to the fridge. He didn't buck me, he didn't complain, he didn't whine, he obeyed, but his spirit was broken. He went back to the fridge, opened the fridge, pulled the tray out, put the carton back in, and I think he made it all the way, you know. And so I was watching him do this, and so I was very touched that he obeyed. But I was just, it broke my heart to see him just so so sad, okay? It blessed me that he didn't whine about it, that he obeyed right away. But it was his attitude and just his look on his face that made me go, of course, I went, okay, it's okay, Oliver. Take the eggs out. I'll make you some eggs. and I had to groan beyond groaning to get up. Okay, this was a non-meal time. Okay, so it's just some random time in the day. I was blessed to make it for him. His face lit up again, and so that was great. I made him, and I think he normally likes it scrambled. I introduced him to the over medium. That's my style. He liked it, so that was a win. But you know, I was happy to make it for him. But then the Lord brought this verse to me. So let's go to Matthew chapter 7. You might know where I'm going. Matthew chapter 7. And this was just a real kind of an aha. I mean, I know this verse. We know this verse. But it was very real, because I just did this with him. And the Lord brought this verse to me. But Matthew chapter 7. Let's go to verse 9. We'll start there, 9 to 11. Matthew 7 verse 9 says, or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? As much as I love my son, and as much as I try to be a good dad, me and all of us, every parent, we're all sinners. If we as sinners can still have some guilt, or, you know, for the sad countenance of a loved one, of a child, and just be able to give mercy and do when it's not required, and even have this compassion to be a blessing and to give just eggs. It's not a big deal in the large scheme of things. But if we would even do this to our own children, us being sinners, how much more our Heavenly Father, the perfect Father, would give good things to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing and what a joy. And what a reminder, Lord. Thank you for humbling me and teaching me through Oliver's example, Lord. What a reminder that you love us, that it is in your nature to provide good gifts to us. What an awesome truth, Lord. We don't deserve it, Lord, but you've decreed it. You desire it And so, Father, help us to believe it. And so, Father, we love you. We thank you so much for the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation. Help us, Lord, to truly, even as a songwriter, have our sweet hour of prayer with you, Lord. And what a privilege to pray. Thank you for your word, and give us a blessed afternoon. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. A very remarkable truth here. Jesus is speaking about he wants it to click, okay? And the idea is if we, in our nature as sinners, okay, we are cursed. And even in our cursed state, we can do, every now and then we can do something good, okay, that's commendable, and give something to our loved ones. And so the idea here, is to give good gifts. And so, in fact, if you read carefully the context of verse 9, 10, 11, God is emphasizing the quality of the gift as good versus evil or a bad gift. The assumption is that the gift is given. And God is emphasizing the type of gift, the quality of gift, the how good it is, how appropriate it is, how wonderful it is. And if a rotten sinner like me can have mercy on my son, can change my mind, because I wasn't lying when I said no, I really didn't. I really meant it. I wasn't just doing it just to fake about, okay? I wasn't like, no, I meant yes all this time. No, I really meant no. I really did. I was really tired. I really honestly had no desire to get up and do it. I was, you know, I had, not to say better things to do, but in my mind, that was what I was thinking. But even if a sinner like me can change my mind, and when I changed it, again, I wasn't faking. I really wanted to do it. I really wanted to do it. I really wanted to bless him, and I was happy to do it, even though I was tired and busy or whatever. How much more will God give good gifts to us? God never tires. You know, I'm tired all the time. God never sleeps. I wish I could sleep, right? Now, God is omnipresent. He can be everywhere all at once. He's never too busy for us. And the quality of the gift, when you look at this in verse 9, what man is that? Again, it's a hypothetical, rhetorical circumstance. The idea is that every good dad, well, you won't find a dad that does this, okay? Lord willing, not. Okay, but the idea is, whom, if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Of course, you know, you think of a bun. You want a nice, soft bun. What kind of dad would give his son a stone? You bite into it, all your teeth. I mean, no, that doesn't. They might look the same, okay, a bun and a stone, but that's not what's going to happen. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Now, yes, they both have scales, okay? And you could say, oh, the fish lives in the sea, so does the serpent, could be a water snake. And evidently, I just for context, sometimes I like Googling stuff, and I said, what type of snakes are there in Israel? Just Google that up. And apparently, okay, by their shallow rivers, they have what is called a venomous Palestine viper. Okay, that sounds bad. Okay, but they can live in water. Okay, and so what kind of a dad, when the son says, Dad, can I get a fish? You know, maybe the dad's fishing, like, have this, and gives him a serpent. No one does that. Okay, that's the idea. And so the thought is, if we would give good gifts to our children, how much more God? Do we realize how blessed we are? God provides for our physical needs. And if I'm just being candid, God has provided in his mercy and goodness way more than my needs, because I have a lot of wants met too. I'm not just a Christian, which I just have my needs and then God cut me off at my needs and doesn't dip into wants. I probably got way too much. I got so many of my wants that I don't need. Even that, God has blessed me. Again, everything we get is a gift from God, okay? It's by his mercy, it's by his grace. It comes from God. Praise the Lord for it. And the greatest gift of all, of course, salvation through Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit for victorious Christian living. If I so desire it, God gives him to me, to us. What a blessing. So therefore, ask. So verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. That's the context because of how and God's nature. God, Jesus wants to share with us as a child of God, this is God's nature to give us good things. He wants to bless us. So ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Anyone that wants to be saved, God will save him. Doesn't matter where you are. anyone who wants to be content with God, He will give you the desires of your heart. That's when you delight yourself in Him. You will find joy in Him. He will fill you as much as you want to be filled with Himself. He is so faithful. That is amazing. God gives what is good to you and I. That's His nature for our Father, to us as a child of God. Which kind of got me thinking. Sometimes if I don't have it, maybe it's because it wasn't good. Remember, God wants to give me good gifts. If I don't have it, maybe it wasn't good. Maybe I'm really praying for this car and I want this car and God doesn't give it to me. Well, maybe it's a lemon. I don't know. Maybe I really want to go to this vacation. And Lord, I really want to go to this vacation. Please have mercy. You said you'll open the door if I knock. I'm knocking for this vacation. And then it doesn't happen. Well, maybe I would have crashed. I'm just saying. God gives us. What He gives us is good. It's always for our benefit. It's always for our blessing. Certainly not to feed our carnal desires, but to nurture us spiritually, draw us closer to Him. In fact, when we understand this truth of praying to our Father, and Jesus wants us to understand the nature of our God, then we can live verse 12. Because verse 12 is where the rubber meets the road. If you look at verse 12, and it starts off by saying, therefore. Therefore means the culmination and the reason of the verses before. It leads up to this verse. And so, well, what does all this have to do with verse 12? Well, verse 12 has been, you know, you can cliche and paraphrase it as the golden rule, okay, which is not wrong, but it extends beyond that. And so when we have all our needs met from the previous verses, when God is there to sustain us, when God is as our Father giving us good things, then we can do verse 12. Look at verse 12. It says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. When God actively provides for all my needs, I can readily do verse 12. Verse 12 is not a verse of manipulation. Okay, Jesus is not saying, if you want someone to do this to you, you've got to make sure you do this to them, which, no, that's not wrong. But the idea is not to do it to manipulate people and so that God says, okay, fine, you did that, so I'll bless. No. Verse 12 is a lifestyle verse. And Jesus is telling us to be the person that we want others to be. Be the person you want others to be. Specifically, be the person to them that you want them to be to you. Okay, and so that and so it's a very powerful principle that goes across all transactions, all scenarios, all circumstances. Because instead of God having to list out in every single circumstance, what do I do? If I just do this, be the person I want someone else to be, specifically I be to them what I want them to be to me, that delights God. And when I have a relationship with God where God provides all my needs, all my cares, He takes care of me, He gives good gifts to me, I can pray and He provides, I can knock and He opens, I'm at liberty to do verse 12. It is a wonderful, wonderful joy to fulfill God's will, to fulfill God's word. There's absolutely no reason we cannot trust God. We can trust Him explicitly for everything because He loves us. It's His nature to give us good things. Let's go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And let's go to verse 8. We'll start there for a little bit. Psalm 103, even with all my shortcomings, even with all my sinfulness, God has humbled me with my children. It's amazing how I can grasp some of the truths in the scriptures more clearly in my relationship with them, theirs with me, of me with my Father, and my Father with me in heaven. In fact, it was, I don't remember the circumstances. I remember my wife getting so upset one time because the kids were just really naughty. I forget what they did. We had got them something, or she had got them something, and they made a mess. They made a mess, and like, ugh! And so it was, you know, clean stuff up and all that, and of course, we are making a promise to ourselves, we're never going to get that again. We won't buy that stuff for them anymore. Well, wouldn't you know it, next time it came around and like, can we please have that? And like, oh, okay. And we got it again. Now, forget if they messed it up again. Okay, but all I'm saying is, in spite of our sin, praise God for his mercy. Because we don't deserve God to continually give us good things. But look at this, Psalm 103. Let's go to verse 8. Wonderful truth here. The Bible says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. If you're a child of God, say amen. Praise God. If you're not saved, I mean, this is the only reason why they can get saved, is God's mercy. Praise God. Verse 9, he will not always chide. He won't scold us. He won't begrudge us. Neither will he keep his anger forever. I'm so glad that my Heavenly Father does not hold grudges to me. When I sin against him, that would be horrible. If God said, well, I used to give you good gifts, but now you burn that bridge wing, you're done. No more wants, just needs. I'm like, oh man. That would be tough, right? But that's not how God is. He loves us. Look at verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. I deserve way more punishment than even when he chastises me. Isn't that amazing? That's so awesome. Nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. God is abundant with mercy. His mercy for his children endureth for how long? Endureth forever. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. He loves us, and when our heart breaks, his heart breaks. Verse 14, for he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are what? We are dust. We are dust. Doesn't matter how strong we are. Doesn't matter how wealthy we are, how famous we are. At the end of the day, we are just dirt. We're just dirt. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. We come and go. God knows that. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. That's amazing. You know, when I shared that my son wanted some eggs and he was so heartbroken, I couldn't help myself. I just had to. That was the Spirit of God, okay. But by God's grace, I had to give that. I had to make him those eggs. I just felt too sad for him. Because I weep when my children weep, I weep. When we weep, God weeps. And Jesus really wants us to understand, if we feel like that, being sinners, how much more God to you and I. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go to verse 16. Just that one verse there. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Because of our Lord Jesus Christ, because he became man to redeem man, and was tempted like man, you and I, yet without sin. But he knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to struggle. Let's go to verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God is merciful. He delights in mercy. On the other side of the equation, I am dirt. I am dust. I need God's mercy. But hang on, this is the beautiful equation. God delights in mercy, and I totally need mercy. What a combination! What a perfect match, right? God gives exactly what I need and what we desire. The publican, he, as hated as he was by everyone else, when he goes into the temple, he prayed, he asked for what? Mercy. He asked for mercy. And God says, Jesus said he was what? Justified. He got it. Whereas the Pharisee didn't get it. Of course, in his own pride, he prayed with himself. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. We'll kind of close there. Romans chapter 8. We're reminded, of course, the scripture tells us, for as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions for us, or from us. Of course, we're only saved by the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. But Romans chapter 8. This is the conqueror's chapter, amen. The victor's chapter. But Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God gave Jesus Christ, and by the way, as we are about to partake in the Lord's table, remember Jesus said, this is my body, which is what? Given for you. Given would indicate there are no merits involved. It is completely a gift by God, by his grace, love, and mercy. We don't deserve it. We don't merit it. It's certainly, we don't earn it. It's given wholly by God's grace because we need mercy. And God, praise the Lord, delights in mercy. What a blessing. If God saved our mortal soul from a devil's hell, he certainly will give us all things that's good for us. Every good blessing that we have comes from God. Do we realize how blessed we are? God gives us only what's good. I just need to take a little inventory of my life and look around and like, wait a minute. If God only gives me what's good, then what I have, I got a whole, trunk load of goods. I mean, I'm just saying, we're so blessed. Count our blessings. We'll realize how much God loves us. What a joy. Let's prepare our hearts to partake of the Lord's table. Let's bow our heads first for prayer. Let's do that. Heavenly Father, what an awesome thought, Lord. Even as myself, as we come to you as little children, that is how we get saved, truly depending on you as a little child, and that is how we serve, in complete dependence to you, Lord. That whoever receives us as we go and share the gospel receives the one that sent us, Jesus Christ, receives the Father that sent Jesus. And so what a joy, Father, that we can just depend on you all the time. Help us, Lord, to keep depending on you always. And that is the greatest in heaven, the one that depends on you the most. And so, Father, we ask that we'll be found faithful. Help us to always depend on you. And depend on your gifts, Lord. We know that you will give good gifts to us. What a blessing, Lord, when we have these good gifts, let it truly sink in that I can say I am good because of the blessings from you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you. Help me to be content. Help me, Lord, to ask in faith. Help me, Lord, to again just to depend in you and depend on you. We thank you for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his shed blood on Calvary's cross. His poured out blood, his broken body, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.